I have a large red eye, black. What do you have?
Large iced pumpkin spice latte, please. Welcome to Coffee with Chachi, where real life experiences and lessons are shared in conversation over a cup of coffee.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday, whenever you're listening to this podcast, and I hope you're having a great day. Good morning, I guess is more appropriate to say. Wow, we got a great story for you today. Probably even better coffee. The coffee I'm drinking today, Chemex Brewed. It's probably like too expensive a black cup of coffee to buy at a store, but it's delicious. It's like got these blueberry hints in it. Got a new mug alert. Saguaro mug from Wren House. That's a good looker, right? Boom. Thick and heavy looking guy. Double camera. Yep. Nice and black. Just good quality Joe. If you ever go to a coffee roaster and you tell them, yo, can I get a pour over? That's the kind of coffee you're getting right there. So we got a good conversation today. Great conversation today. This is the kind of conversation that, you know, we could notice that we're doing in our lives every single day. I notice that I'm doing it every single day. And it's just a mindset shift, really, to be honest. That's all this really is. You know, focusing on the action that we required, not focusing on the possibilities of other things is the simplest way to probably put that. So, you know, I've had a couple conversations in the last few weeks, as well as personally watching a video of Simon Sinek, who kind of goes over it as well. And just the conversations together, then Simon, it kind of just hit me. I was like, wow, I do that often. Let's talk about it. So that's why we're here today. I hope everything's going well with your day so far. You know, the first conversation was a couple weeks ago with a friend of mine who's playing in a tournament, golf tournament, and he was going over how he didn't do as well as he would like, and specifically on one of the holes, he really kind of put himself in a bad situation to recover in golf, and eventually didn't win the tournament and didn't make it to his next goal. And the one area he was telling me about is he was on one of the holes. He was about 100-150 yards out, if I can remember correctly, and the wind was blowing pretty strong into his face, and the hole had water in the back. So he's like, well, I got to hit it harder to get through the wind, but if I hit it too hard, it's going to go into the water. He's like, so I really kind of just battled back and forth with, like, you know, not hitting it too hard because then it'll go into the water. And the wind was kind of really, really blowing hard into his face. And so he said as he stood there and tried to figure out, like, what his move should be, he kept going backward and forth because normally about 150 yards, he uses one club. But with the wind, to try to get it there, he probably needed a bigger club. But with that bigger club, it's possible he could go into the water. So he contemplated back and forth, and, you know, how the stories go in life, we all know what happened, right? I'm going to drink my coffee and then you can tell me what happened. He hit it into the water. That's how that went. So in a similar story I have with my cousin, I was at her house and she was kind of just doing some chores and her son was there. We were there. We were talking about nonchalant, regular stuff that, you know, cousins do to catch up. And in this particular story, her son, who's a ball of joy, just a great little kid, he's kind of just running around in the background, and she's like doing a few things here. She's telling me how her day went, and I'm just letting her know, like, you know, what I've been up to, kind of things I'm working on. And you can hear her son fooling around with things, and then suddenly you just hear her say, you know, get off the chair. And I look over, and there he is, like, you know, climbing up on a chair, like a bar stool kind of chair, so it's up a little bit, so he's kind of getting his way up in there. And he kind of looks at her, he kind of doesn't do anything, and then she's like, stop climbing the chair. So then he works his way down, and he's good. So we continue on in our own little way of what we're doing, and just like any other kid, right, we all know this story. After a good 2-4 minutes of us having a little conversation, he's climbing the chair again, because that's what kids do, right? And she proceeds to say the same thing as before, right? Hey, can you stop climbing on the chair? And so he kind of like pauses to see like if she really gonna do anything again, and she like starts walking towards him, and so then he gets back off the chair. And I, in my head, I'm thinking, wow, although totally different, right? One person's at a golf course, the other person's kids climbing a chair. Well, totally different. They're in the same circle. They're in the same cycle. What is going on there? And I'll kind of prove this to you with a little bit of a test and show you what was occurring with both of them in these situations, and which occurs with me from time to time as well. So if I tell you, I'm thinking of four items, right? I'm thinking of four items, and your job is to then try to guess each one of these items. And without any hints, I'll give you zero hints what these items are. But what I'll tell you is they do not belong in the kitchen. And I'll give you as many guesses as you want, but they don't belong in the kitchen. So in your mind, you're probably thinking, all right, if they don't belong in the kitchen, so they can't be microwaves, they can't be anything that would be in a kitchen, right? Well, what I'd ask you is, where's your mind set at with that? Are you thinking, well, they probably belong somewhere in a house? Because the kitchen's in a house. So they must be somewhere in this house. So they could, maybe they're a living room item, maybe they're a bedroom item, a restroom item, maybe they're a dining room item. So did, by me saying they do not belong in a kitchen, did that limit your thought process to them being something that belongs in a house? Because if it is so, then I fooled you. I fooled you by giving you something that wasn't even part of it, right? Not in the kitchen doesn't necessarily mean it's not in a house. It could be anywhere. So the items I'm thinking about were for mountain climbing. All right, a D-ring, a rope. These are all items that are nowhere near the false information that I gave you to put you on a path of the wrong direction. So what does that look like in both of these small, quick stories I went over? So for instance, look, what does that look like for my friend who was hitting a golf ball? What else, what other information did I give you in that story? Like, he's hitting his golf ball. We know that he's playing golf. We know that he's about 150 yards from something. We know that it's windy, and we know that there's water. And those are the items that I gave you, because those are the items he gave me, which means that those are the items that he was thinking about, which means that naturally our body is going to only focus on those items. Our mind is only going to focus on those items. There was zero other information given in that story. There was nothing about how far did the water go? Did it go far left? Could you go more to one side or the other where the water isn't at? But more than anything, there was no focus on where the ball was supposed to go. We know that the ball wasn't supposed to go into the water, but where was it supposed to go? I only need to hit it 125 yards because that's the closest area where I can hit the ball and still putt it. Now the whole picture changes. No water's in that story. No wind is in that story. when we creating these mental images in our brain, the first step is to create what we want to do. Jason Day is a famous golfer as well. He's known, he used to be the number one golfer in the world at one point. He's won tournaments. And before every hit or a swing he does, he focuses on what he's trying to, not what he's trying to avoid. Oh, I see these trees on the right. I need to avoid those trees. No, I need to hit this ball here on the left in this spot right here. That's where his focus is. It's hard to do something you're not thinking about. As for my cousin with the chair, where are we at? I never said where we were. Did you have a picture of where we were? Did you picture us in the kitchen? We were actually not, we were outside. There happened to be a chair outside in her backyard. And the idea was, I left out those so that we would create this own picture of what was going on. And I did ask earlier on, what would you want him to do instead of climb the chair? And she's like, well, we're outside, there's several things he could do. So then the question is, why aren't we saying what we want them to do? Or why aren't we saying, here are options of what you could do? But instead, if we tell him, don't climb the chair, in his mind, the only option he has is not to climb the chair, but there's nothing else for him to do. So the chair is what is available. Another statement could be, why don't you show Cousin Chachi how you go down the slide? Why don't you show Cousin Chachi how you throw the football? These are all options that were available right there in the yard. So, you know, these are all options that we could say, but we have this tendency of saying what we don't want to do, and then it limits our focus. We need to focus on the action required and not on the negative that could occur from these actions out there. And that's the big thing. And this all hit me when I was listening to a podcast. I listened to a lot more now. I got away from listening to a lot of podcasts, just listening to music. And I've been back into my podcast, back into my books. And it's crazy once you start doing those things, how more things start to pop up in your brain and you start to have all these different scenarios like brainstorming. I was listening to Simon Sinek and he was going over a very, very similar situation. And his question was, why do elite golfers never hit? We're talking about golf, so that's what's in my brain. Why do elite skiers, when doing downhill skiing at very, very high rates, not hit trees, but amateur golfers, still with golf. I did golf the other day, and that's probably what it is. So, but why do amateur skiers, who are going half as fast, hit trees? And obviously the first thing is, well, elite golfers again. Well, elite skiers are obviously way better, right? So that's obviously why they don't hit trees, is because, well, they're better skiers, and that definitely has a place in that. But the main reason that elite skiers, I said it right that time, don't hit trees is because they're focusing on the trail. They don't notice the trees. Because if you stay on the path, you can't hit the tree because there's no trees on the path. But if you see the trees and you're like, oh my gosh, there's trees coming up, I hope I don't freaking hit this tree. Well, your only focus is the tree, and so you hit the tree. If you only focus on the path, which has no physical trees or blockages on it, you can't hit the tree. I was driving a huge Ryder truck a few weeks back, helping out a friend, and the friend was like, you haven't hit a curb, you haven't hit anything, I don't understand how you don't do it. And I was like, well, it's pretty simple. There's the curb on the right when I make this right turn, and on the left there's a white line that shows where the lane ends. So I just focus on the white line. When I make a turn, I try to turn as close to that white line as possible. I already know the width of the Ryder truck is smaller than the width of the lane, so as I stay as far left and stay right onto that white lane, it's impossible for me to hit the curb. So I'm not focusing on the curb. I'm not seeing, oh, there's a curb there, because then I get as close to the curb as possible, and next thing you know, I'm going to hit it. But if I focus on the white line on the left and I get as close to the white line as possible, it's impossible for me to hit the curb. So guys, it's something that we all working on, right? So focus on the action required. What's required of you today, opposed to whatever else is out there. Focus on that. Yeah, and then after you do all that, have a great cup of coffee. So a little low, more calm podcast than a few others, especially that one with the banging noise, right? If you heard that one. So, but as always, guys, I hope you're having a great week. Learn, practice, train, always move forward, and drink great cups of coffee, guys. Have a good one. Thank you for listening to Coffee with Chachi with me, Chachi. You can find me on Instagram at Coffee with Chachi and my personal account at Chachi Gustin. Have a great week.